Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Sarah Lane, episode 98 for April 29th, 2009, Evernote. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to squarespace.com/night. And by GoToMeeting, the affordable way to meet with clients and colleagues. For your 30-day trial free, visit GoToMeeting.com/night. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I'm Leo Laporte.
And from South Florida, I'm Amber MacArthur.
Still in South Florida. We can't get you out of there, can we?
Leo, I'll be back in Toronto next week. So pretty soon I'll be out of here. And I've had a great month,
I'm sure you
can imagine.
You timed it perfectly, yeah, right? Because I bet the weather's changing in Toronto now.
It is. And so I got out of there just as the weather was changing. So when we get back, it will be nice and warm. And yeah, it's just been nice to get somewhere for a full month and work from down here and, you know, not really know anyone. It's kind of like I'm escaping, Leo.
Yeah, well, you're not, though, because unlike most people on vacation, you're working. Because not only are you a mother, but you also have shows. You're still doing Command N. You're doing Net at Night.
I know, but you know what? It's so much easier to do shows like Command N in the warm weather. As much as I like going out in the cold, it's been really nice to just go out and shoot it somewhere that's really beautiful and not have to dress
neat.
Up in a parka. But I think that's what makes it unique, so I'm not going to complain too much.
Have you been going out on the beach and shooting and things like that?
Yeah, we've been out on the beach and shooting near the water and all over the place. So that's been kind of fun. So I can't complain. But like I said, you know, Toronto's warming up. So once we get back, it's going to be perfect weather. Fingers crossed.
Well, we have a great show for you tonight. We're going to talk about one of my absolute all-time favorite pieces of software.
Yes, we're going to talk about Evernote. And, you know, Leo, I mentioned this on last show. You did a little bounce when I mentioned we would have the CEO of Evernote on the show. So I know you're a huge fan. And I was lucky enough to meet him at a conference in Orlando just a few weeks ago and thought he would be a great fit for Net at Night.
Yeah, good choice because they are, well, they reinvented themselves, frankly. I liked them when they were just a Windows notebook kind of competing with Microsoft OneNote. But they have gone so far in the cloud direction, and it is the most single useful program you ever saw. But we'll talk more about it in a little bit. I don't want to tip your hand. Sarah Lane's going to be here. She's got a website pick, and we have a lot of tech news too. Before we do that, though, I want to mention my friends at GoToMeeting. You mind?
No, I'm happy to mention.
We always like having sponsors. GoToMeeting, what's wrong with that? I ask you. GoToMeeting's the company. Citrix is the company that makes GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting's the amazing meeting software. You know the problem. You know you've rearranged your business so that you don't have to travel so much anymore. You know you can do a lot more with conference calls, but the conference calls can be very frustrating because you're trying to talk about something visual, whether you're talking about a website design, the kind of thing you might be doing, Amber, or you're doing a PowerPoint presentation for sales. Maybe you're collaborating. I use GoToMeeting for collaborating on speeches. And you're trying to describe this thing and nobody's seeing it. They're going to sleep. They're bored. They're frustrated. GoToMeeting. A picture is worth 1,000 words. And with GoToMeeting, people can see what you are talking about. You can install it right now. Use it for 30 days absolutely free. So easy to install. If you go to gotomeeting.com/netatnight, I'm sorry, not net at night, just night. gotomeeting.com/night right now, you'll have it installed before I'm done. And you can actually start trying this out. The way it works, you schedule meetings in advance if you wish. You can have an email go out to your participants with a link to click. Or you even while you're on the phone, and by the way, this comes with free voice conferencing and free voice over the internet. So the phone calls even are free. You're on the phone. You say, I got to show you this PowerPoint. I've got to show you this keynote presentation. Works on the Mac now, too. Let me show you this. Go to gotomeeting.com. Here's the meeting ID. They enter that in. All of a sudden, they're seeing your computer on their desktop. They see the PowerPoint of the keynote. They see the web designs. You can type together in a document. You can illustrate and annotate together. You collaborate. Great for training, for product demos. Try
and Leo, I have to mention one thing.
Yes.
Less travel.
Yeah, we like that, don't we? Those of us who travel. Yes. Would it be nice if you could do your speeches via GoToMeeting?
I love that idea.
I'll give a speech. I've done that, actually. I'll give a speech.
Have you?
Yeah, but I'm going to do it from here using GoToMeeting. Yeah, it's awesome. I did a presentation for 200 people with GoToMeeting. It was quite amazing.
Did you wear pants?
They'll never know. GoToMeeting. Let's not bring that issue up. GoToMeeting.com/night. Try it free for 30 days. We know you're going to love it. So we did something really unusual on the Twit Network yesterday. We're going to talk a little bit more about it right after this show with Steve Gilmore and the Gilmore Gang. We broadcast live the Facebook, they called it Tasting Con or something like that. But the Facebook preview and announcement of their open platform.
Oh, I saw your Twitter about that.
Yeah. So this is something I want to do more of on Twit, which is carry these conferences live and then do analysis afterwards. It's the kind of thing that, you know, CNN might do with a presidential press conference, but we can do with geek stuff.
Yeah, that is a perfect idea, because I think that's what everybody's looking for right away, is kind of the analysis and commentary about what this means. Yeah, and especially with news like this about Facebook. So I know I didn't get a chance to tune in, but I saw that you wrote that, and I definitely wanted to check it out because it is big news. And as you know, it could really change the way people are using Facebook content. And you can imagine that we could possibly have services out there that use a lot of the Facebook content that's available. And sites would be created. Like, there are so many Twitter sites that allow you to do so many different things. We could have the same thing with Facebook.
There's a big difference. And I was actually a little disappointed as it unfolded. And they started to demo it, and they demoed it on Plaxo. Oh, God, please.
Yeah.
I know. And then Microsoft showed a Silverlight application that was very cool, and there was an Adobe Air application. But all of these applications were ways that you could look at your data. So instead of having to go to the Facebook page, you could use, let's say, an Adobe Air application to see the kind of the same content. Microsoft did some neat, you know, animation and stuff. But essentially, it's just another way to see your data. This is very different from what they called a public-facing page like Twitter. You use a Twitter application, you can see other people's stuff. With this, they don't want to open that up. In fact, worse than that, they allow you to do a search, but you can only search data for the last 24 hours. So you can't even go back. You can only look at your data for the last 24 hours.
So it's just searching your own content.
Yeah, it's very I think we all hoped that this was the beginning of breaking out of the walled garden.
Definitely.
And this is something I still hope for. And, you know, I kind of asked Dave Moore, and I said, you know, right now you may not realize it, but you're in a death battle with Twitter for the hearts and minds of people. And for what I call the internet dial tone. Actually, Jason Calacanis was the one who coined the term. But he said that eventually, if everybody has a Twitter account, suddenly Twitter becomes the way you identify on the net. The way you communicate with people. It's almost like email. That's your email address, is your Twitter address. Facebook has that opportunity to do it even better because they know a lot more about you. They have some specific information. Mm-hmm. They have all this metadata about your content that Twitter can't and doesn't have. But if they don't open it up, if they don't tear down the walls, then there is no public face. In other words, I think what they should do is let people have a setting. They've already got an everyone setting on your data. They should have one more setting called public. That you can say, I don't mind if people follow my Facebook videos, status updates, and, notes. You pick
like outside of being logged into Facebook.
Outside of being my Facebook friend and outside of being logged in. Then it's like Twitter, right? You could follow anybody you want. That's the difference between Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, you follow whoever you want. They don't have to approve you.
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook, you have to make an agreement with the person. We're going to be friends.
Didn't they change their privacy settings recently on Facebook, though, so that
they added everyone.
You could have it? Yeah, so everyone could view your content. But like you said,
but the API doesn't allow it.
Yeah,
so
that's silly.
So they've created an API. They call it the OpenStream API, but they haven't taken that step to say, okay, yeah, we have an everyone setting, but we're not going to let you let anybody see it. So I was a little disappointed.
Silly.
Dave Morin said, Dave Morin's the platform guy, and he said, be patient. We're going to get there. We don't want to scare our users by moving too fast. It's my position that you already got the setting. Just default off. And if somebody is smart enough to look and say, oh, I want it to be available to everybody, they can set it that way. Somebody else said, sent me a mock-up saying, well, you could have a three buttons instead of just a publish button. You could have publish on Facebook, publish for my friends, publish to everybody. You know, you could, you can control that. It's not going to scare users.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted more.
I don't think it would scare people too much.
I wanted more from Facebook.
And you know what? I think everybody feels the same way. Not everybody, but at least a lot of people in the geek community. Because I was on Facebook the other day just going, searching for someone on there and some content. And I hate going onto the site. I have to admit it. I find it a little too cluttered these days. I find it, you know, too locked down, not easy to find information. And obviously they have so much potential because of the number of users on there. And like you said, the amount of content they have. But at some point it just needs to, they need to break down the walls.
Well, wouldn't it be cool is if they had this kind of Twitter follow model where you could say, well, find whoever you want on Facebook, follow. And again, they have you as a user of Facebook have the control of who can see what. You still have all the privacy settings. Mm-hmm. But let's say I'm going to publish my status updates. Basically, that would make Facebook Twitter instantly. Right?
Yeah.
Anybody who's there's 200 million people on Facebook. You just find them on Facebook and you follow their status updates. Now, Facebook is every bit as good as Twitter. But then you can add more. You can add more content. You can add more information. If somebody, Robert Scoble pointed this out, the problem with Twitter is you could say you're in D.C. or Washington, D.C. Twitter has no way, you know, there's no verification. They're not the same thing. On Facebook, you join the Washington, D.C. network. We know you're in Washington, D.C. You're part of that network.
That's my brother's biggest complaint about Twitter. Every time I talk to him, he says, I cannot believe that I cannot search by geographic location within the Twitter platform. I mean, it seems unbelievable that I can't find out who is on Twitter within 50 miles of where I live. That technology, you know, obviously is not that difficult to create.
I was a little harsh. I was a little harsh on Dave. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, you're missing the boat. You got to be more aggressive here. Twitter's going to eat your lunch. If you don't, you're just going to be another classmates.com. If you don't open up. You have a huge opportunity, and I'm thinking it's not because they're worried about their users. I'm thinking it's because they're worried about their profits. They're afraid if you don't go to the web page, they're not going to make any money, and that's nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I asked Jason, I said, well, how would Twitter make money? He said, are you kidding? If everybody has an account on Twitter, you don't have to figure out how to make money. You'll make money.
Yeah.
It's just automatic.
You know, and another thing that I think Twitter doesn't do well, which like you said, Facebook does well, is that on Twitter, there's no way for me to really convey a lot more about myself in the sense that you have this tiny little space where you can put information for your bio. Creating a background is a total pain in the butt. But so as far as kind of branding your presence on Twitter, you really can't go too far with that. So Facebook has that ability, but I agree. I mean, it will be good to see more opening up of Facebook and, you know, long term, I think with Twitter, there obviously needs to be much more functionality in terms of your personal information on that as well.
I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm very excited. I hope Facebook listens to me and all the others who are saying, open it up, because they have a real opportunity. And the days of AOL are long gone. Who wants to pour all this stuff into a closed system? We're putting a lot of value in Facebook. We're putting a lot of value in Twitter. Open it up. Just open it up.
I know. I'm still frustrated about the 5,000 friend cap that I wrote you about the other day. I mean, just
well,
that's
you,
another
you, do you have a fan page and a personal page?
No, I don't. I don't have a fan page.
So the first thing you should do is create a fan page. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's public, by the way.
Yeah. And obviously, I want to get a lot of the people to move over from the friend page to the fan page, which would be great. So I don't have to ask them to add me again. I think, you know, I'm going to end up having to do that.
No, the first thing is the fan page, the fan page is automatic add. You don't have to do anything.
But as far as transferring over the friends.
That you'd have to get Facebook to do. And I asked Kevin Rose about that. He said, oh, no, they'll do it for you. So write a note to Dave Moore, and Dave's not going to do anything for me now, but you to pretend you don't know me. Or better yet, say that Leo was a jerk. I completely disagree with him. Hey, could you help me?
I'm never doing that at night again. That guy is out to lunch.
apparently they can move everybody from your personal page. This is what I would like to do this to a fan page. I have a fan page with thousands of people because you don't have to approve them. And you can post the same exact way to your fan page as you do to your personal page. So you have all of the same capabilities. Now, this is something new. And then just have my personal page just be literally like it should be for everybody, their friends. You know, I have 12 friends. It'd be a lot smaller.
Well, that's the issue right now. It's funny because people had written me emails and they said, oh, you know, it's not, oh, boo-hoo, you have more than 5,000 friends. But the issue now is that when you have people waiting to be accepted as your friend, I have people on there. I have clients who I'm doing business right. with. I have relatives who I can't add as friends. I mean, it really frustrates right. me. And I've used Facebook for a long time and they're kind of controlling who I add to my page, which just seems the most ridiculous thing. Like maybe my network is bigger than 5,000 people and why do you care?
Right. Keith Barrett's saying in our Stick'em chat room that there are actually four Leo Laporte fan pages. This is another problem, is that anybody can create a fan page. There's no official fan page. So I think that's another call to Facebook saying, look, can you consolidate all four of them into the one I'm running, the official fan page, move everybody, all 5,000 people off of my fan page, add all 3,000 people waiting in the queue to become my friend to the fan page, and then let me add, but then you'd have to go through that list and add those people go back.
And you know what, Leo? It's funny because I have written Facebook before, and I actually know one person there who I wrote just on the weekend to try to get moved over to a fan page. But in terms of support on Facebook and Twitter, I have heard some horror stories, and I've experienced some of them as well. If you actually write into support on Twitter, I mean, it could take you weeks and weeks to get an answer about anything. Same thing applies to Facebook. And I'm starting to think that some of these services really need to beef up their support as well, because
it's kind of hard when you're not making any money on Twitter. It's kind of hard to pay support.
Oh, sure. I'm sure it is. But eventually, I think that there's going to be that service out there that does a really good job of the customer support. I mean, that's how Zappos became so popular with selling shoes. Because the support is just brutal. And not that I think that's going to kill them. But longer term, if they do make money, it would be good to see them beef that up.
Where do you come down on the scale of people? It's a broad scale of people who think Twitter is going to be the next Google. I mean, literally, some people think that. Or Twitter is just a silly thing that's going to fade away and then, you know, it's a fad like Friendster was and the next thing will come along. Where do you on that scale?
I don't think I would go as far as to say it's going to be the next Google. I might say maybe the next Facebook.
Which is not
I think
bad.
They still have a long. Yeah, it's not bad. I just think they have, you know, a long way to go as far as, you know, not adding more functionality to the site, but I think that there just has to be a little more beefiness to it. Right now, it's pretty simplistic, which is why it's popular. But I think in terms of for it to remain a tool that people like to use, you know, it can't be the same right now as it is a year down the road. I just don't think it has it will have the longevity unless they continually innovate. I think it's pretty amazing. It's obviously massive, especially in the area of news. I think that's where they can have a really bigger impact than they do now.
Now, are you following the swine flu on Twitter, or do you think it's a bad place to get your swine flu news?
No, I'm following, you know, it's funny because I find a lot of news just on Twitter just by glancing at my followers in terms of what people are talking about. So I am following the swine flu. It was the first place that I found out from one of my followers that there was a case recently in Orlando. And then, of course, four more cases in, I think, the Toronto area were identified this afternoon.
Oh, boy.
And, I know. And so I'm thinking of flying back on Thursday. The planes are not the place you want to be.
You got to be scared with a little kid. You don't, you know, I mean, you got to really worry about that, don't you?
I know. This may sound really extreme, but Chris and I have sort of talked that we would consider driving back by Thursday if the outbreak gets even worse.
I don't think
worse.
That's just crazy. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, just what, you know, he's our baby's not even 3 months old. And, you know, to take him on a plane and there's already cases in Toronto and I just makes me a little bit nervous. And we're not under any time constraints that force us to fly back. We could take the time to drive if we wanted. So
drive. Hey,
it might
happen. Toronto was the epicenter of the SARS thing, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah,
so
I didn't live there at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was visiting, though. Funny enough, I was visiting looking for a place to live when SARS was happening, so I ended up moving there anyway. But that was very serious. And, you know, some people are saying Toronto is well-equipped to deal with something like this if the outbreak gets worse. But it's scary. I mean, during SARS, people everywhere were wearing masks, and, you know, you couldn't really go in and visit people in hospitals who were affected by SARS. And so it's just some of these diseases, I find it's so amazing how quickly they can spread. I don't want to, you know, get too alarmist, but it can spread so fast that I think that's the scary part about all of it.
It's a little scary. My mom's flying. She's visiting. She's flying back to Providence tomorrow. And we went to the drugstore and looked for those N95 face masks, which you're seeing everybody at the airport wear. And we got the last box of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of getting some of those as well, but I don't know if they can put them on babies.
Probably we'll not see. A good idea.
Probably not.
You can overreact. And I think a lot of people, that's what they're saying, is that Twitter has become the primary source for hysteria, not for real news. Mm-hmm. But I don't find that to be the case. I find a lot of good information on Twitter.
CNN is still the primary source for hysteria.
That's what I think.
Don't worry.
I was watching CNN the other last night, and they had a person on who said, you know, it's okay, you should go, it's travel, go to Mexico, no problem, it's going to be fine. And I thought, well, that's a strange thing for a doctor to say. I guess he's very... And then I saw he wasn't a doctor, he was a travel expert.
Oh, my gosh.
No, ask a doctor. Let's... travel
He'll
expert.
He'll have a difference of opinion.
He might have a little...
Well, another thing CNN did, and I'll tell you just quickly before we get Phil on the line, and Jon Stewart highlighted this last night on The Daily Show, is that CNN was talking about outbreaks of swine flu in Canada. And at the time, there were just a few outbreaks across the country. But CNN showed this map where the entire map was red, as though the entire country of Canada was infected, you know, instead of just identifying the specific provinces. And
we all know Canada is a red nation. It's full of social. So color the map red. Yes. Red.
Keep it like that forever.
Yes. All right. Before we get to our guests, we got a great guest. Yeah. Phil's going to be on in just a second. He is the CEO of, I'm going to tease you some more, of a company that is just, I think this is one of the single most useful applications I've ever used. I have it on all my systems, even my iPhone, and I just can't live without it. I'm a big fan. Before we do that, though, I want to mention Audible. You know I'm a big fan of Audible, too, right?
I do.
We still haven't got you an account, have we? I'm so sorry.
Yes, you did. No, Leo, I have an account.
Oh, it worked?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I have an account, and it works.
I sent it to you, and I wasn't sure if it would work in Canada. Oh, I'm glad. Audible.com/night. Actually, this URL works all over the world, but your mileage may vary on the books we talk about, I think. I'm not sure exactly how it works. Audible is everywhere. audible.com/night. They've just set up a new page for award winners. So this is a really, you know, Audible's a giant bookstore. You know, one of the great pleasures of going to a bookstore for me always has been browsing. And they've really duplicated the browsing experience here at audible.com/night. For instance, you can look for Booker Prize winners, Edgar's, that's the Mystery Award, Grammys. National Book Award, the Hugos for science fiction, the Newbery Medal for juveniles, Publisher Weekly. Let's go to the Pulitzer Prize section. So these are Pulitzer Prize award-winning books that you can get at audible.com. There's a huge selection of them. Olive Kittredge, The Hemingses of Monticello. Oh, this is a good one. This one I just read and I really like. American Lion. Actually, I didn't just read it. I just ordered it. Andrew Jackson and the White House. I love reading history on Audible. I know you love history, too. Andrew Jackson was a crazy president. I mean, this guy had fought like 4 or 5 duels. He had a bullet in him. One of the most, Old Hickory, they called him, one of the most unusual men you've ever heard about, a man who was president. John Meacham has written what been hailed, won a Pulitzer Prize, as one of the best biographies of a president. 17 hours, 21 minutes, narrated by Richard McGondale. Let me play a little bit of it for you. You can hear Richard's narration.
Jackson's
style.
Own vice president, John C. Calhoun, had resigned and taken up South Carolina's cause. Though the immediate issue was money, South Carolina felt oppressed by federal tariffs, which it wanted to lower.
Did you read that, Dave?
The
Have
real
you read
question
it?
Everyone
I can't
knew.
Wait to read this. I love history. Andrew Jackson. This is a great pick. This is, you know, you can listen to science fiction. You can listen to romance. You can listen to mystery, potboilers, page turners. You know, Demon and Angels is coming out. You can listen to that on audible.com. I happen to like to mix it up, and I always love listening to history because I feel like the time I'm spending in the garden, in the gym, in the car, driving is not wasted. I'm actually, it's like going to college. audible.com/night. Our recommendation of the day, American Lion. Andrew Jackson in the White House. Give it a try. It's absolutely free. audible.com/night. We thank them so much for their support of the Net at Night program. All right, Amber, let me call our guest.
Yes, I know. I was looking on Twitter, and I know he's waiting to chat with us.
They always do that, don't they? They say, I'm going to be on Net at Night. I'm so excited. Let's
I know. That's good. It's when they don't come on, Leo, that we're in serious trouble.
Yeah, we like it when they Twitter that they're going to be on. Absolutely. Hey, Phil.
Hello.
Now, is it Libin or Libin? How do you say your last name, Phil?
It's Libin.
Libin! Now, I've been teasing people. I've been saying this is the most incredibly useful software you've ever used. It is a must-have. Everybody should run out and get it, but I haven't said the name yet.
Uh-oh.
So do you want to reveal to all and sundry the name of the program that we are talking about today?
Well, I hope you're talking about Evernote.
I sure am.
ding, ding, ding.
Excellent.
Now, Phil, I was telling Amber, I've been an Evernote user since you were basically a Windows program designed to be a little bit better than OneNote, Microsoft's own OneNote program.
It's a good way to describe it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, OneNote, it was a note-taking program kind of designed for tablets. Evernote had this great grocery list metaphor where the notes would just keep on going down. But you've come a long way and changed quite a bit since then. Have you been with them since the beginning?
No. I just joined Evernote got about a year and a half ago.
So you don't remember those bad old days?
No, it wasn't around for them. So I just had the
good days.
When did they get the notion of saying, you know, there's something more here. We could be a cloud application. We could run on every platform, not just Windows. Because that was a brilliant inspiration.
Well, you know, I think the vision of the company was always very ambitious. I ran into it basically because I was looking around for, I wanted to do something big. I wanted to do something that if it was successful, hundreds of millions of people would be excited about. And I thought, you know, everyone wants a better brain. No one is happy, or most people aren't happy with their meat brain. And so the vision of the company was always improve everyone's memory.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, but then we kind of felt that the earlier incarnations of it, where it was just a Microsoft Windows kind of note-taking app, weren't really living up to the full potential of the vision or the technology. So, you know, about 2 years ago, I guess right about the time I came on board, we started thinking about, how do we make it much bigger? How do we take the IP and the technology and the idea and really just make it everyone's external memory? And we just sort of ran with that.
I've heard, is it true that now the iPhone is the number one platform for this?
Well, we have a lot of iPhone users, probably about 500,000. Most of those people are also on another platform as well. So, the majority of our mobile phone users also use Evernote from a Mac or Windows or the web.
You really were a Windows program for a long time. Is Mac now at parity with Windows?
Yeah, we have almost as many Mac users on a daily basis as Mac, which is which is kind of weird because obviously there's many more Windows users in the world than Mac users.
Right.
But we've got a big thing coming out for Windows users in the next couple of months that we think will make a lot of people very happy.
I like
what
the wait a minute. Amber, I have to point this out.
Yeah.
We're seeing Phil in his office. For those of you who are watching on video, if you're listening on audio, you know he's got Post-it notes behind him.
Uh-oh. All over the place.
Phil, what kind of Evernote user are you?
This is an exact Evernote use case. This is our we just finished with Shark Week. So every quarter at Evernote we have Shark Week. That's 1 week per quarter where all employees are allowed to talk about what they want to see in Evernote. It's very strictly punished at all of the times of the quarter. But for 1 week a quarter, everyone can come up with their crazy ideas, and we write them all out on a giant whiteboard, and then make Post-it notes. And the length of the Post-it notes represent kind of how long we think a task will take, and then we lay them all out. And then we take pictures of that, and that goes into Evernote.
Oh, that's nice.
Through Wi-Fi. Yeah. We just have a digital camera around that's sort of attached to the room somewhere, and you snap a picture, and now that's all searchable in Evernote, and then that gets translated into our project plan. So this is all stuff that we'll be working on in the next 3 months. I hope you guys can't actually read the details. I'm going to trust that you can.
No, we'd like to, though. what I was going to say is that what amazes me about Evernote is that you have so many fans. I mean, I don't know if you were listening to the show last week, but when I mentioned Evernote, for the first time ever, Leo jumped up and down on his basketball.
I bounced.
So excited. And then on Twitter, I've had people write me. They're so excited about the software. Leo is still bouncing right now for people who can't see him. So why do you think it is that so many people have become so passionate about your software?
Well, you know, I think we got a simple message, which is we want to be your external brain. And it's kind of ambitious. It's probably overly ambitious. But I think it's something where if we can get it right, everyone will want it. It's just there's no question about the demand, and you know we're making good steps towards getting it right. So we love our users. We've got almost 1 million of them in the first year. We do everything we can to make them happy, and it seems to be working out. You know, we don't do a whole lot of traditional advertising or marketing. We try to be much smarter about reaching out to people. Understanding.
You know, there's nothing dumb about buying advertising, Phil. It's a wonderful thing to do.
And we should have our ad people call your ad people.
You don't need to buy advertising because we plug the Evernote program all the time on all the shows. Let me answer your question, maybe, Amber. Do you use Evernote, Amber?
Yeah, I just downloaded it actually on Chris's iPhone a few weeks ago because I was looking for a really great iPhone app. So I just started using it. And then when I met Phil, he showed me some really cool uses for it that I want to talk about a little later.
Yeah, I can give you some use cases. So I started with it on Windows, was a big fan on Windows. By the way, Evernote is free. You always had a free and paid version on Windows. You kind of changed the model more recently in the last couple of years. So it's free Windows, Mac, and iPhone. But if you pay, $20 a year, you get more storage.
It's $5 a month or $45 a year.
$45 a year, okay.
For the premium account.
Which I did immediately, even though I don't use the storage. I just wanted to support you guys.
Cool. Well, we appreciate it. Now you get more stuff. You get some features that are premium-only features. You can put any files you want in there, and so all your files get synchronized to all your devices, which is what I use. I kind of live in Evernote now. All of my spreadsheets, presentations.
Yeah. So I could just put a document in there, attach a document to my Evernote?
Yeah, just drag it right into Evernote, and it'll get synchronized everywhere. And then if you open it from Evernote and edit it, all the changes get resynced. So you can, I'll start a document at home. If I'm taking the train in, I can look at it on my phone. When I get to work, it's on my office machine. Any changes get synchronized back in. All of that stuff, everything I just said is completely true except the train part because I almost never take the train. But I feel like I should because I'm in near San Francisco. So
I wrote you guys when you first came out with the Mac version, and I said you've got to add encryption. You did right away. PDF support, I think you did right away. I mean, very responsive to people who have suggestions for the application, and it's just gotten better and better. So the other thing you get at premium is you get faster recognition, right? You get text recognition.
Yeah. Well, you get to be first in line for the recognition. We have this battery of servers that if you take a snapshot in Evernote, you'll actually index all of the printed and handwritten text in it. So you can take a picture of a whiteboard or business cards or wine bottles or whatever. We'll add all sorts of other recognition. Down the road, we'll add recognition in voice notes and a bunch of other stuff like that. But basically, our goal is to have a free version that's viable forever. We want to have a full-featured free version available for everyone, for all time. And then we want to have a premium one that's, a little bit better for people that want it.
What do you find is the sector of the population that, as far as users, is growing the most? I mean, are you trying to get out to women, or is there certain demographics you're trying to reach and you really see them using Evernote more and more?
Yeah. So we haven't actually explicitly tried to go after a particular demographic. When I was making all my investor pitches, all my VC pitches, they would always ask, well, what's the target audience? And I would say literally the target audience is everyone. Everyone who wants a better brain. So that's a few billion people. And then maybe we can sort of funnel that down to everyone that wants a bigger brain, with a credit card. That's a lot of people. Obviously,
with a credit card. I like that.
Some of those are going to adopt first. And so, we're seeing lots of professionals, lots of students, lots of, doctors and lawyers using it. But we want to be the general purpose external brain for everyone.
I use it for serial numbers, Amber. So whenever I have an application, I want to keep track of the serial number. I enter that in. I do encrypt it. I use it for credit card numbers. And the thing is, because it's on all my machines, it's the first thing I install on any new machine. But you can also surf to the web because it's a cloud application and get the passwords. So, for instance, I was installing something on a new machine last night, and I didn't want to put Evernote on the machine because it's my mom's machine, but I was installing some software. So I just opened the web page. There's the password. I can copy it, paste it into the application. I mean, it's a great way to store that. I also, I like it so much, Phil. I went out and bought Griffin makes a iPhone case just for Evernote. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
This is so cool. This is the
It's
called the Clarify. It has a little magnifying glass that goes over the camera because one of the problems with the iPhone is that it's fixed focus. You can't really get text very well. And since Evernote has built-in text recognition, you use the Clarify lens to take to just write the right focal length for text. Then you take the snapshot of it, and then I get the text recognized automatically as I sync up to the network, and the text comes back down to me. It really does, it works so well.
Another case makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah. You like the Clarify, too? Yeah.
I do. So I use it, and I'm actually really optimistic about the iPhone 3.0. We're doing a lot of work for that. That's going to be a major improvement to Evernote as soon as that's out.
What's going to be a change for you that will be of value to you?
In 3.0?
Yeah.
Oh, tons of stuff. I mean, just a lot of the APIs that they're releasing are just going to be great. So the fact that there's all core data now basically means that we can make the iPhone app kind of a lot like what the Mac desktop app is. We can do a lot more synchronization between the client and the server. Things don't have to always go out to hit the server. So basically it's going to become amazingly fast because most operations are going to be done on the phone now because we'll actually be able to sync the data, which we couldn't really do before. We're going to have Maps integration. So that's pretty cool. Your geographic location has always been a big part of remembering. You know, you kind of remember where you were when a memory happens. So that's always been important. So you'll be able to see it on the map. And then we're just making a bunch of UI changes. That'll be really cool. And Leo, I got to say, I'm just great to see you, and great to see you bouncing up and down, because I've been watching you since, I don't know, the late 90s. I remember you on
I'm that old.
I remember you on Screensavers.
That's right. Yeah.
And on Call for Help. And I remember watching you on TV. And going like, he's a nerd and he's on TV.
How did that happen?
And it gave me hope. You're like a long time inspiration for
Thank
me.
You. It's very nice to meet you, Phil. Another application for this, Amber. I'm going to do one more and then I'm going to let you ask all the questions. I'm sorry. Sure. I'm dominating here and I apologize.
No, I just have one more question. So
I'm
no
such
worries.
A fan of the product. We were at a friend's house. This is a really good use of it, Amber. And there was a flower planting they had called Choicea that I really loved. Jennifer said, write that down. And unfortunately, I always have my iPhone with me. And I pulled it out and I realized, wait a minute, I could take a picture of the Choicea. I can annotate the picture. I can save it. It will be on all my stuff. And I have it. It's part of my notebook. And I'll tell you, I keep everything in here all the time. And I haven't come close to filling it up. I mean, it has a ton of storage. When I'm parking the car, you can take voice notes too. I've eliminated, by the way, a lot of applications because I don't need them anymore on the iPhone. I can record, you're in B6, take a picture of it. I mean, it's really, really useful. Yeah. Okay, Amber, I'm going to stop now. You do it too?
I do the car thing all the time.
I love that parking idea. That's a great tip.
Oh, yeah.
I just have one more comment, and this is no disrespect to Phil, but I have to say, Phil, you are a little bit of a geek as well. If you remember at the Digital Now conference, you pulled me over to your booth and you were showing me a new use for Evernote, at least I think it was new, with images. Can you talk about that at all?
Well, so one of the coolest things that we do is we can search inside of images. So anytime you see anything that you want to remember, I use it. I take pictures of, menus and wine labels,
yep.
Where I parked my car. I'll write notes on a little Moleskine notebook and then take a picture of that. And that goes into Evernote. Business cards. Whenever I meet someone, basically whenever I get a business card, it's kind of a tip. So if I ever meet any... if any of you watching this ever meet me in person and I get your business card and I don't immediately take a picture of it, but I kind of politely put it in my pocket, that means I probably don't actually care because I'm never going to see it again. So anytime that I actually want to remember someone, I'll immediately take a picture of it while it's still in my short-term memory. And then that's all I have to do, because then I can just search by any of the words, printed or handwritten in that note. That's kind of one of the main things that we do.
Which is very cool.
They just added a Twitter integration, too. Is that public yet, Phil, or is that just still in beta?
No, it's public. You just follow MyEN, M-Y-E-N, and as soon as you follow it, it'll magically follow you back, and you'll get some instructions. You basically have to click a link to link your Evernote account to your Twitter account, and then whatever you direct message to MyEN or just include MyEN in a reply, it'll make that note into Evernote. So if you have a quick note, something you want to remember, and it's easier for you to just type it into Twitter, you can just do that. Or if you see something that you want to remember on Twitter, you can just retweet it to MyEN. That works. I think, I'm not sure how many people we have now, but I think we got 6,000 or 7,000 people in the past few days using it.
Remember, Amber, we love Stickit, which is Rail Dornfest's really cool sticky note application, which of course went away when Rail went to work for Twitter. But this is an example of an application that I use in place of Stickit for everything now. I mean, it's really replaced a ton of stuff for me. I just use it all the time.
And yep. Phil, you mentioned that you only took over as CEO a year and a half ago. As far as the future, where do you want to see Evernote down the road?
We've basically been around, you know, since launch for a little bit over a year. In fact, our public launch is actually coming up. It's in June. So it's going to be a year in June that we've been sort of publicly launched.
Is that all? Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's really gone by fast. And so in the first year, all of our resources were just building. So it was just build, you know, pay attention to what our users want, try to have some goodwill, that kind of stuff. We've really done very little explicit planning around growth. So in the second year, there's a bunch more stuff planned. We're going to do sharing and collaboration. So when we started out, we sort of intentionally made Evernote the anti-social app. We kind of said, you know, every other Web2O app at the time was some kind of a social network or some kind of a micro blogging or publishing something. And we said, we're going to make Evernote for people that have more substantive things that they want to remember than could be expressed in 140 characters or, you know, that you want to share with your friends. So we kind of made it initially to be your memories, your brain, which means there's no viral capability in Evernote right now. So this... all these users that we have, it's just word of mouth. It's not actually viral because there's no reason for you to invite your friends to use Evernote other than, you know, you like Evernote and you want your friends to use it. But we're going to add a whole bunch of sharing and collaboration features. That's coming out in the summer.
Cool.
So that'll be hopefully a pretty major thing because that actually will introduce, you know, network effects into it. So you'll be able to say, share this notebook. This is my class notebook and I want to share it with my, you know, my classmates, or, you know, I want to share this notebook with these people and I want to give these people read access and these people read write access. And so you'll be able to do all of that within Evernote. That'll add sharing, collaboration capabilities. We've got a bunch more devices coming out. So right now, you know, we've got Mac and Windows and web, and iPhone is really our big mobile client, but we've got a lot of other phones, coming out soon.
BlackBerry?
A lot of other phones.
How about Linux? Any move toward Linux? A lot of Linux users are asking me about that.
You know, I'm looking at the chat log and I'm seeing a bunch of Linux stuff. You know, there's actually potentially good news there. So we have a fully open API. A few months ago, we released an API open to all. We have something like 400 external developers that have registered API keys and are working on it. And a bunch of really cool apps have launched.
So you could write a Linux app that would interface with it.
You could. In fact, we encourage people to do that. In fact, there are at least two that I'm aware of in the past couple of weeks that have announced kind of publicly, hey, I just got my Evernote API key and I'm writing a Linux client, and a Linux client will be available you know, real soon now. So we'd love for someone to do that. We'll promote it if it happens. We will put the Evernote marketing juggernaut to work for you if you want to use the API and write something cool like a Linux client.
By the way. I am the Evernote marketing juggernaut. You have many users like me, I know, who are just really big fans of it.
Yeah.
Some other requests, as long as we're talking requests, this is from our friend feed Twit Conversations room, Palm Pre. I guess you probably can't talk about that.
Yeah, you know how secret all that is, so I don't even know if there is such a thing as a Palm Pre.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, don't know what you're talking about.
Number of people want a better export on the Macintosh. Right now, it's an XML file, but they'd like maybe some export features on the Macintosh. Plans for that?
So that's actually coming really soon. That's on the board towards the top, so that'll be there. They'll be there soon. You can do export now. It's an XML file. It's fully documented what the format is. So, you know, it's pretty easy to put that anywhere you want.
You're in the situation, and this is where Twitter was in the beginning, where you're relying on third parties because you have a good API to add functionality. And I think that's not an unreasonable. We've seen that work so well for Twitter. It's not an unreasonable thing to do at this stage of the game.
Well, I think, you know, we've got Evernote is only 30 people total.
Yeah.
And we've got, you know, like I said, about 400 using the API. Right. So that's, you know, I don't know, 12, I'm not very good at math, times the number of people that I don't have to pay that aren't on payroll that are working to make, you know, cool features for Evernote. So yeah, it's a great way to leverage stuff. But export is coming explicitly. We're working on that. That's on behind me on the whiteboard. In fact, it's kind of there now. It's just not exposed. So for Mac users, it's actually stored in OpenHTML. If you just look at your, you know, Evernote directory and like whatever it is, user, library, application support, Evernote, it's just there. So all we're really doing for HTML export is just, you know, letting you move that to a different file.
Right.
But it is all open data standards. And our goal, this is really important. We want to be your trusted, permanent, long-term brain. So you always have to be able to get stuff in and out.
Right.
You always have to be comfortable. We don't own your data. You own it. We don't want data lock in, and we're working as hard as possible to make all that happen.
Ken Shepherdson, who is a Jabber and XMPP guru, says, "What about instant messenger integration?"
Yeah, that's on there as well, although it's lower down, so we haven't committed to it yet. Basically, as you can see, some of the stuff is like running off the on the floor there. Those are things we might not have time to get to this quarter. I really want to do an instant message integration because I already figured out what it's going to be called. It's going to be called Evernote IAM Robot.
I love it.
So I want to do it because I've got a cool name. It's a shame to waste it.
IAM Robot.
I'm having a kind of an argument with our CTO to try to figure out when to prioritize it. The Twitter client was sort of a baby step towards that. You know, you can tweet something to Evernote now. Well, you know, the next thing is going to be able to.
Yeah, it's the same. It's basically the same.
Well, except it'll be bidirectional. So you should
it could talk back.
Yeah, so you could be able to like search for things and it'll spit out.
You could query it.
More bouncing, Leo. Yeah.
I'm bouncing. This is great.
That would be cool.
It's very interesting that you're going with the social media route with this. It makes perfect sense, and I think there's some real power there.
Yeah, the social media, it's worked well for us. You know, people on Twitter really like us. I just checked. We've got 8,500 people using the Twitter plugin over the past few days.
Wow.
If you look at like tweet volume, the thing that measures like how many conversations are on Twitter about something, and you kind of plug in Evernote, there's like 50 or 60,000 conversations about Evernote on Twitter, which is kind of like, that's more than, you know, a bunch of like Fortune 500 consumer brands.
I know, isn't that funny? That's the beauty of Twitter.
Yeah.
They're agnostic. You don't have to be a billion-dollar company to be a Twitter favorite.
We've got like more people talking about Evernote on Twitter than about like, you know, Nike or like Gatorade. We've got almost as many people talking about Evernote that talk about ham. So
bacon.
Pretty soon we're going to catch up to ham.
Not bacon though. Bacon's still the leader.
That's a good goal.
Bacon's a
way out there.
Yeah.
Bacon's way out there, and then of course you got like, you know, iPhone is pretty big, and Obama is pretty big. So yeah, I don't think we're going to catch up to iPhone and Obama, but we'll pass ham.
I'm going to try one more time. Android?
Yeah, so we actually do have, like I said, we have plans for all of the major devices, all the major phones. And we haven't fully committed to the dates on them, but I expect pretty much all of the major smartphone platforms to be available sometime this year, except for the Palm Pre, which I've never heard of. I have no idea whether such a thing exists or not.
Which makes me think that you know more than you're admitting to, young man.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Impossible.
Leo, the title for this episode has to be something about surpassing ham, okay? Just remember that.
We're number one. So the API, I'm going to have to take a look at it, but you feel it's very complete. You're able to get everything out of Evernote that you...
You can basically build, it's got all the features that our clients use.
You could build an Evernote.
You could build an Evernote, exactly. Yeah, and that's our goal. So if anyone is interested in using it, just check it out. It's on our blog. In fact, there's a bunch of stuff on our blog. We just go to blog.evernote.com. It's all there. And you can sign up for a key, and we are committed to helping promote people that actually write API apps. So a few have come out already, and we've promoted them. We talk about them. We'll do everything we can to let people know about applications written using the Evernote API.
Well, if Marshall Kirkpatrick is to be believed, when you announced the API last fall in Read Write Web, he wrote, "Evernote hits a home run with API data portability." So that sounds like you've got the right thing, the right idea there.
Yeah, we worked hard on it, and we knew that one of the major I kind of put myself in, try to put myself in somebody else's shoes, kind of looking at Evernote, if I wasn't the CEO of the company, and just as a, you know, as a geek, but as a potential user for Evernote, and I said one of the things that I would be really interested in is the issues of data lock-in. You know, I would worry about who owns that data.
That's what
would concern me. And so I said, okay, we got to do everything possible so that it would address people like me and say, no, it's not. We have no intention of doing it. So a full API. Document that import export formats, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we really want, you know, we want the data, your memories that you put in Evernote, we want them to get better with age, and we want them to be accessible in 5 years and 20 years and in, you know, 10,000 years, which sounds crazy.
No, that's great. You do smart things like supporting OAuth.
We do.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm very impressed. I'm very excited about the potential that the platform offers as well.
Thank you.
Phil, great to talk to you.
It was great to talk to you.
Thanks, Phil.
Amber, great to see you again.
Yes, and we'll keep in touch. Yeah. Absolutely. Maybe we'll have you back on in the summer after you release some more features.
I think there's going to be more. And, you know, what languages work well with the API? Do you have bindings for things like for scripting languages like Ruby and Perl and, and Python and so forth? Because I'm thinking I ought to write some little proof of concept ideas I have.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different things available. There's also there's both server and client side binding. So if you want to just kind of do some light hanking around, especially with the Mac client, that's full Apple script scriptable.
Oh, that's
great. If you want to go to the server, then we have bindings for lots of languages, and hopefully it will be fine. So you know, I'd love to get you guys on our we just launched our official Evernote propaganda podcast. Which we're still struggling with.
What's
issues.
What's the name like of that? Oh, where is that? Where can we find that?
It's all on the blog. So just blog.evernote.com. And I think we just recorded our third horribly unprofessional version of the podcast. But we'll try to make better and better so that at some point soon
it'll get better. I'm sure.
You could actually record this in Evernote. You know.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'd recommend it, but you could if you wanted to. I had one more question about the API, and now it's gone completely. Oh, do you store on Amazon S3? Where do you have your own servers?
Yeah, we have our own. So we use S3 for just hosted downloads, but we don't use it for our data center. So we have our own, you know, top tier data center out in Silicon Valley, you know, along with a bunch of other big Silicon Valley companies, and everything is, you know, redundant. We've sort of set up a professional data operation, but we basically found that we couldn't quite use the you know, the Amazon or sort of other app engine stuff. It just wasn't quite reliable enough, and the economics just didn't work out. We'll look at it again in about 6 months, but for now it's it's our stuff, and it's in my past life, and a lot of the team that I brought with me you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, we did a lot of high-end security stuff. So we've set up a lot of sites for, you know, government data, for security stuff. So we really try to have best practices in how
to
do. So
what encryption is used in the client?
Well, all of the authentication. So all of your login, username, and password, that always goes over SSL.
That's SSL, great.
From anything. Okay. If you're a premium user, then everything goes over SSL.
Awesome.
So all of your synchronization and everything is...
You know, I was wondering that because I'm synchronizing some pretty personal stuff. So I'm very glad to hear that. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So for free users, your login is always SSL.
Right.
But the data is just, you know, it's like email or anything
pay
else.
Pay for
just,
it,
just
folks.
There, right.
Pay for it.
Yeah.
Premium user, it's all SSL. And then if you encrypt the data in Evernote...
Which I do, yeah.
Right. Then that's, you know, that's a... you know, shared, you know, secret key algorithm. I don't remember which one it is, but I know that
it's pretty secure.
It's basically the most secure that we can get away with without running into, you know, serious export laws. Okay. And we don't have the password. We cannot see your encrypted data. So if you encrypt something in Evernote and you lose your password, we cannot help you. It's actually secure. It's not, you know, pretend encrypted where we can decrypt it for you.
Great stuff. Thank you, Phil.
All
I really appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll keep in touch for sure. Would love to come on your podcast. That would be great fun.
Absolutely. Thank you much.
All right. Take care.
Take care, guys.
Phil Levin.
Bye.
From Evernote. He's the CEO. That is neat stuff. I'm sorry to take over on that, but I'm just such a fan.
No, it's great. I think it's great. You're obviously a huge fan.
I didn't realize you hadn't been using it, or I would have been twisting your arm.
No, I just, like I said, I just downloaded the iPhone app before I met Phil.
That's great.
And I've heard great things about it. So the iPhone app is excellent, and I'm sure I'll start using it more. So, and he was so excited when I met him. He was hilarious. He dragged me over to his booth and was showing me what Evernote could do. And, you know, when you have that much passion in a CEO of a company, you just realize that their product must be pretty amazing, because that doesn't happen all the time.
He's a real enthusiast. Yeah. Yeah. It's a neat story. They're a company that's really kind of reinvented itself. In a very modern way. And boy, I get really excited when I see this kind of stuff going on. It's just really neat. Hey, let's get Sarah on. I know you've got to go. You've got a dinner party coming up, right?
Yeah, I have my guests are here, actually. I see that, but I'll say hi to Sarah.
I'll get Sarah on and you can take off.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
We'll do a handoff.
Thank goodness for Sarah.
That's kind of funny. We did it last time. It worked pretty well. Of course, last time also something went wrong with the computer. Sarah was on and She went.
We kicked her off. So this time we'll give her a lot more room.
All right. Let me get her up here. And we'll say hello to her and we'll let you go. I do want to mention Squarespace.com while we're getting Sarah on here. We love Squarespace. They're a great sponsor. I was just talking to Alex Lindsay, who is so crazy about Squarespace. He says we're moving all the everything on the Pixel Core over to Squarespace.com. Sarah Lane uses it. I know your hubby Chris Dick uses it. I mean, it is a really great platform. In fact, now I'm looking at maybe doing it for everything that we use on Twit, because they do that virtual server stuff, which means, you know, traffic is never a problem. Where is Sarah? I saw her briefly. There she is.
Oh, I saw her. There she is.
There she is. Sarah, I can't hear you, though. Oh, wait a minute. That's because I didn't turn you up. Hi, Sarah. Are you there now?
La, la, la.
There we go.
Okay. Hi, Sarah.
You pushed that button, did you, Sarah?
Well, you know, that's that whole thing. The line through the microphone actually means mute, after all.
Oh,
who knew?
Who knew? It's an amazing thing.
Yeah, anyway, Squarespace, where were we?
Well, we were just singing its praises. Are you a Squarespace fan, Sarah Lane, now
that
you've used
it for a while? Leo and Amber, it's funny you ask. I am. I use Squarespace myself. In fact, we might have talked about this before. I'm going to do a whole site redesign, but I'm sticking with Squarespace because I like them so much. And
I'm going to do the same thing. I'm moving my blog over there, and they've duplicated my blog design. And now I'm looking at it, and I'm feeling, that's kind of old and fusty. And Squarespace makes it so easy to drag and drop stuff. And I asked Alex, and he said, I'm just going to do drag and drop. I said, can you really do anything you want? He says, we've got CSS guys who are going crazy, loving this thing, because you can do all your own CSS. You can do all your own. You can put JavaScript in there. I've got Discuss as my comment engine. It's really, really cool. So, Amber, do you want to take off? I'm going to let you go to your dinner party.
Yeah, you know what, Sarah, if you don't mind, I'm going to pass the baton over to you, because I have people here for dinner, and if I don't come out soon, they're going to be real hungry and angry. I know you'll do a great job wrapping up the show.
Sitting there like,
where's Amber? She's doing a radio show. Get her off of there.
I know.
Well,
all right,
no,
so guys,
please,
I'm going to leave you, and I'll talk to you next week, Sarah and Leo, and have a great end of the show.
Thank you, Amber MacArthur. Take care. Bye, Amber.
Bye, guys.
So I was just talking about Squarespace.com, and let me tell you the deal real quickly. You can try it for free. You get 2 weeks for free. You can do as many sites as you want for free without a credit card or anything. Just go to squarespace.com/night. You don't really have to go to the squarespace.com/night, but I ask you to do that so that they know that you came from Net at Night, because there's a lot of people talking about Squarespace right now. We want to make sure we get credit for it. But also, if you do decide to stick around, 10% off when you use the coupon code NIGHT. So that's a nice thing. 10% off Squarespace. It's a hosted solution with the most advanced software I've ever seen for web design. And I want to say blog. Yeah, they've got blogging, but they've got forums. They've got photo galleries. They've got amazing SEO. I was just looking at the statistics module on this thing. It is super, super cool. Give it a try. Squarespace.com/night. Sarah, I'm sorry I didn't see you on Friday. I missed this week in fun.
Hey.
Did it go well?
Yes, it was great. We had a fun show. it really was, though. I think both Martin and I thought, hey, you know, people might actually think we're friends.
Well, I know your friends. You know how I know your friends?
Why?
Because you walked with Marty in the MS walk. And you
did.
And only a friend would walk with somebody in one of those charity walks. How far was it?
There were a few of us, because we're do-gooders, of course. It was like people had the option of walking like a 5 or a 10K.
Well, you're a sportswoman, I know.
So
you probably did several laps around the 10K.
Right. Oh, yeah. You should have seen me. Yeah, I won. I won the entire thing.
You won? Oh, yeah. You got to break the ribbon and all that, you know?
You know, it was neat. There were actually, I don't believe anybody ran. It was much more of like a, just sort of a community. There were lots of, you know, friends, and people had, you know, little t-shirts, and, you know, they'd be walking for somebody. Everybody knows somebody. And a lot of dogs, and it was just sort of, it was a really nice day down at Crissy Field. It was down like, you know, from like Crissy Field to like Fort Funston to Aquatic Park, which of course, for those familiar with San Francisco,
it's
a beautiful walk.
Oh, what a great walk.
You know,
you're
kind of looking at Alcatraz and the bridges, and it was just really kind of nice to be out and about on a Sunday morning in general. So, super fun. And Marty and I really are friends in real life. We're very good friends. He's definitely one of my best.
Cute. Yeah, so. You guys are really cute together on the show.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're having fun. This Week in Fun is seen on the Twit Network every Friday afternoon at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, or 2000 UTC. You can watch Amber and Marty have the fun. Watch
Sarah
the sausage. I'm sorry, Sarah and Marty. Watch the sausage being made and then download it because it's on iTunes now. You can get it on twit.tv or just search for This Week in Fun on the Zune Store or iTunes or any of the
I wonder if Amber would ever want to be on the show since she's been so gracious to have me on Net at Night all the time. That's a great idea. I'm going to ask her.
I keep saying, when are you coming out to the Bay Area? Because we'll certainly get her in here then. But yeah, she can come on via Skype.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think that'd be great. That'd be great as long as she doesn't mind too many poop jokes because that's what we do best.
At least that's what the song says. So what's your sight of the night?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's less of a sight and more of a tool, but it is sight related. And I came upon it purely by accident. And here's how it went. So laughingsquid.com is one of my favorite sites.
Scott Beal.
And you know, I think he has some guest authors, but I think Laughing Squid is mostly him, the blog anyway. And he's always kind of just, he writes about funny stuff. There's good pictures, a good story or whatever. So I go every so often, and he just recently did a site redesign of his own. He uses WordPress.
He went white instead of, this used to be a black site. Black.
Yes,
site.
I have to say I love the white because black
too.
Harder for me to read.
I've never liked the black background sites. They always seem like they're trying to be hip.
Well, to me, and this is, you know, I don't want this to sound snobby, but it's outdated looking to me personally. Anyway, he did a nice site redesign. The site looks great. I'm a big fan. But I noticed down at the bottom of his post, sort of right along where you get the share this link where people can share on Dig or Facebook or Twitter, whatever, there was a little retweet button that I was unfamiliar with. In fact, on his latest post, there's 31 tweets. Then you got a little button to retweet, a lot like a Dig button. So I went ahead and I clicked retweet just to see what happened. And what it does is it opens up Twitter for you. And it sort of retweets at Laughing Squid with a little the title of his blog post, a little bit.ly link, which, of course, is the post that's, many fewer characters than the actual URL. And then it says via at tweet meme, tweet M-E-M-E. So I went,
what is this tweet meme?
So I went to tweetmeme.com. It turns out the tweet meme is pretty interesting site for people who are really interested in sort of the pulse of Twitter. You know, the people who are interested in the top hashtags. These are, you go to tweet meme, it's all the stories via link. You know, so this is how they're figuring out who's tweeting about what. So it's all the stuff that's most important based on what people have linked. And then, of course, retweeted and the like. So if I was to post something and it was retweeted, you know, 500 times, yeah, I'd get on here eventually. It's pretty cool.
Because it's almost like a Dig. I mean, you get the categories: home, comedy, entertainment, gaming, lifestyle, sports, technology. And I gather that everything you're looking at is kind of ranked, but not by thumbs up, thumbs down like Dig, but by tweets.
By retweets. Yes. Yeah. So, and the whole thing is, so you can, it's kind of two different things because the Laughing Squid folks are using it as a marketing tool.
Which I like because you'll get retweeted that way.
You'll get retweeted. And he's a good example of a place where people really understand sort of the Twitter world. Right, so he's going to get retweeted and it's probably going to be a very lucrative thing
good
for him
promotion.
To have added into his blog. So there's that. But then there's, if you were actually just to go to TweetMeme outright and just kind of see what's going on in the world, it's a really good little picture into the world, you know, if your world is Twitter. So then I thought, all right, well, how do I get one of these little buttons on my blog? Because I'd kind of like to check it out. So if you scroll down to the bottom of Tweet Meme, under Have Some Fun category, there's a little link for buttons. And if you go inside buttons, it gives you a little example of a few different buttons you can use. The retweet button that Scott Beal on Laughing Squid is using is in there. It's the full version. There's also a compact version. And they even give you like a little fun little chart widget, just little JavaScript stuff that you can just drop down into your site.
Now, I see you can use it on WordPress. Can you use it on Squarespace? Can you get it into Squarespace?
Yeah, because the WordPress plugin is actually its own plugin. They sort of have like a special plugin for WordPress users. Everybody else, you just drop in a little
JavaScript.
Yeah, it's a little tiny piece of JavaScript. You could totally use it on Squarespace. So that was what excited me because, you know, I'm wanting to redo my Squarespace site. And I'm like, see, I love stuff like this because it makes me, it just sort of, it feels modern and fresh and sort of new. You know,
share this thing that he uses. Share this is great because you can, it gives you all the things, including Twitter. But this is like a really easy thing if you're a Twitterer to be able to do it. So you haven't added it yet.
And I haven't added it yet because, well, you know how redesign goes.
Yes.
You have this great idea and then it turns into a bigger project because your imagination gets the better view of how wonderful it could be. But what I kind of like about the retweet button is, you know, if you're going to tweet about something that you read, for the most part, I mean, most of us are lazy and we kind of just want to retweet anyway. I much prefer the one click.
Yes.
It says everything I need to say. All I'm really doing is showing people the link and, you know, maybe I want to change a word or two, but probably not, rather than go, you know, tweet it and then give credit and make sure that I don't upset anybody and do that whole, you know, PC tweet, retweet kind of a thing. It just does all the work for you and it looks nice.
You know what I like? This live stream, which is a real-time feed, much like the friend feed theme, but it's watching Twitter and it's watching, you can say stuff with 2 tweets, 5 tweets, 10 tweets, or 20 tweets. That's kind of like the friend feed like. You're only seeing the strongest content. If you click 10 tweets, this is stuff that, well, Sarah Jessica Parker's expecting twins that you're going to see the big stuff. Yeah, look at that. She's expecting twins with Matthew Broderick on retweet.
On tweet meme?
Tweet meme. Whatever you call that thing.
Are you under the entertainment category? Or
I was looking at the live thing. So the live doesn't categorize it. It just says follow this. So if you put 10 or 20 tweets, it's going to be the most retweeted stuff.
Oh, I see. You know what? That's so funny. I hadn't even gotten this far.
This is really cool.
I never noticed the live. Yeah, it's and the funny thing is Amber and I were, you know, I always write her earlier in the day and just kind of go, "Oh, I've got an idea, you know, what do you think?" And I'm always apologizing to her because I'm like, "I know it's more Twitter-based stuff, but this is really cool and here's why."
You don't have to justify it.
Exactly. Well,
some people will never understand Twitter.
Right.
Those people are missing the boat.
I think we've established that Twitter, you know, it's a pretty powerful community. Yeah. You know, whether or not you like what a lot of people have to say, it's neither here nor there. What's fun, I think, is all the really intelligent tools that come out of
this
a service.
This makes it very powerful. Yeah, this is very interesting.
And I keep finding stuff where I'm like, gosh, this is smarter than the original service. You know, this is really, it's great. And you have so many people using it now that it actually makes sense to build stuff like this and to incorporate it onto your blogs. Because I know that the big debate now is sort of, you know, is personal blogging dead and what's the point and this and that. And it's like, it's true that if you have modern tools to be able to use modern services, then it's less dead. That's for sure. I mean, I'm going to add a retweet button on my blog post. Why not?
Yep.
I'm on Twitter all the time.
Why not promote it? Even if you weren't a Twitter user, it's just another way to promote what you're doing on your blog.
Exactly. Well, you know, the share this button, so many options that they give you, people are not using.
Right.
But they're using Twitter. Use the tool that works.
Twitter is dominant. There's no question about that.
No.
Sarah Lane, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, my darling.
Leo, you're a doll.
I'm going to be in on Friday because I can't stand not seeing you guys. I'm going to come in and see how everything's going on this week in fun. Everybody should tune in and catch Sarah Lane on that show.
Yeah.
And, her blog is saralane.com. Look for a retweet button coming soon.
Soon. within 5 days.
All right, I'll race you.
Okay.
I'm going to put retweet on mine.
All right. And
I'll race you.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
Now we'll see. Now we'll see.
That's a race.
All right, Sarah. Thanks so much.
No problem.
Take care. Thank you all. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate you watching Net at Night. You can watch live. It's on every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific. If you want to watch the live feed at live.twit.tv. And of course, you can listen to the show anytime you want by downloading it from twit.tv, iTunes, Zune, all of the usual podcast places, along with This Week in Fun and all the other great Twit content. Have a great night. We'll see you next time on Net at Night. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.